Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Okay, so the first date question, we have not talked about this a lot with the other ladies so far, so I kind of want to jump into that. You know, as far as like the cost, you know, what does that look like?
I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay, well, topic. Then let's go. I'm glad I asked you this one.
Yeah, I have a ton of thoughts. So I have had really amazing coffee dates that have lasted hours, and we've shut down the coffee house, and, you know, I've had really great dinner dates. I appreciate something that's very low key, very low risk, as you can say. So coffee or lunch is probably my preference, or maybe even brunch is my preference. As far as money goes, I'm not impressed by that. I want you to be, you know, I would like a guy to be financially stable, but I've had really terrible experiences in the past with my most recent ex-boyfriend from a couple of years ago. Basically made it seem at the beginning of our relationship that he was financially stable, not rich, but just, you know, financially stable, good with money. And it turned out that was not the case. So I'm really hesitant about people who flaunt wealth. So I prefer something very low key, you know, middle of the road, something where I would be able to afford to pay on my own if he doesn't, although I'm from the South, so I kind of expect him to pay on the first date. Yeah. But I'm always prepared to pay for myself. So yeah, I mean, I have a lot of strong opinions now. They are, in a group that I'm in, we've had conversations about, how women have different perspectives on this. And so I think it's really important leading up to the first date to set those expectations.
Yes, definitely. I think that is super important to have that kind of conversation beforehand, because, you know, I've had the experiences where, guys will be offended that I even offered, you know? So I would rather like kind of have that conversation before the first date, because then it doesn't make that awkward, you know?
Yeah. And I'm something that I have learned, being in some singles groups and talking to single guys, just as friends, is something that I have to, come to terms with myself. Second date is usually always on me. I always try offer for the second date. And from what I understand from my single male friends, that is an issue. That they, you know, if a guy is taking you out, you need to let him pay. And I'm very much for equality in a relationship. So that's why I'm always like, hey, let me get the second date. But, you know, I also would be, going back to the first date, I think I would be incredibly uncomfortable if we go to a really fancy restaurant for the first date, because typically the fancy restaurants are what I have always called special occasion restaurants, you know, birthdays, graduations, that type of thing. And for a first date, I would just be very, very uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah, I totally understand. I agree. I'm a let's go get coffee kind of girl, or because I'm in California, I'm like, let's go to the beach, you know, and just walk along the beach. Like, that's so simple. I'm the person that would rather sit and talk and actually get to know you instead of feeling like awkward that we're at this fancy place. And it just brings in these other, not expectations, but just brings in these other aspects that don't necessarily need to be there until you're in further into a relationship, in my opinion.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. It's like, okay, cool. You have money. That's nice. But that's not all that this relationship is about, you know? So.
Right. That reminds me of a Shania Twain song. That don't impress me much. I don't. Yes. Yeah, no. I'm not impressed by your wealth.
Yeah, I'm more impressed by your character and
absolutely, you know, your heart after Jesus.
Yes,
really.
Yes, exactly. Like your heart for other people. You know, just that those are the things that are attractive to me. Yes, physical is a thing, but it's still, I would rather know that somebody is, you know, has a servant's heart and whatever that looks like, because that's different for each person, but, you know, has a servant's heart and really is running after God over trying to impress me by taking me out somewhere fancy.
Indeed. Indeed.
You know, and that's not, I feel like that's also not like everyday life, you know, like everyday life, like once you're married and you have kids, it might just be both of you sitting at the kitchen table exhausted after you got the kids to bed and just going, hi, honey, how was your day? You know?
Right. Yeah. And that's why, like I said, I call them special. I grew up lower middle class. So that's why I call them special occasion restaurants. And that also plays into the part why I would be incredibly uncomfortable if like, that's what you're going, if that's what you're throwing at me right out the gate. Like, I don't, you know, you don't throw everything at it at first and then you trickle down, because I just, like you said, it's kind of a letdown later on when it's like, you know, maybe you are celebrating something special and you're like, oh, well, we just came here for our first date. No, I want that something special to stand out. You know, and one of the best first dates I ever had, like I said, was coffee. And then where I live, there is a dam that you can walk across and a lot of people exercise on it. And I met a guy and that's what we did. And then we went out to smoothies afterwards.
Oh my gosh, that's like a perfect date.
Yeah, it was really cool. But you also mentioned something about servant's heart, you know,
right,
volunteering for something and seeing how he interacts with others and, you know, doing a service project that would probably woo me more than a fancy restaurant. Like if he interacts really well, I'd be probably ready to propose after the first date.
Right. It'd just be like, okay, let's go get married now.
For sure.
I agree, though, because to me, I've had this conversation with other people, too, where they hear the term like kingdom marriage. And, you know, they're like, oh, it has to all be about ministry. And I'm like, no. Like, to me, the idea around a kingdom marriage is like you as a couple have a common goal, and that common goal can be done in full-time ministry, or it could be, you know, you both have jobs and you use those jobs as your ministry platform, but you're also, if you're having kids, those are your ministry too. You know what I mean? So it's like these different aspects and how that all can kind of come together. But the point of it is that the goal is common and you're both walking it like together. And so I feel like having that be like a date thing or just a really good conversation about like what, you know, that looks like in that person's future can tell you a ton about that individual and like what their walk looks like, and then how, you know, they really see the future going as far as that aspect is concerned.
Absolutely. You know, I serve a lot at my church. But, you know, everybody's ministry field looks different.
Yes.
And so, like you said, your ministry field could be your family. You know, maybe your ministry field is your significant other, you know, leading them back to Christ. Maybe that's your workplace. Maybe that's, you know, just a random person on the street. Your ministry field is anywhere where God calls you to. Right. And so I agree with you. A kingdom marriage is all about having God first in the relationship and having common goals when it comes to serving him, whether that's serving each other within your relationship. I'm of the age that because I will be 40 in a week, that kids may or may not be on the table for me. And so, but I love serving in nursery and I love pouring into kids at my church. And I'm so grateful that at my church, I have friends that allow me to love their kids like my own. And so maybe that looks like serving in the preschool or serving in the youth group and pouring into kids that are not our own, and providing a different perspective in that way. So my idea of a kingdom marriage is loving each other and loving God first and foremost, and having God at the center of our relationship and allowing him to take us wherever that means. Maybe that means overseas, you know, you know, really praying together. And I think praying together is the most intimate thing that you can do.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about like the physical stuff, and yes, that is intimate, but praying together and really like having somebody to just love on me and pray over me would just be, I mean, just the most intimate thing that I can think of. And also, I like to go to concerts, and I go to a lot of praise and worship concerts. So, and I know we're going completely off topic from first dates now, so I'm so sorry.
No, it's great.
But, you know, there are times that I go to these concerts and I see men and women together and they're worshiping together. And I look at that and I say, that's what I want. 100%. I know deep down in my soul, that's what I want. I want a man to go to a concert with me and to worship with me. And like that, if he doesn't like concerts and he's not going to do that, then it's probably a no-go with me. That's probably one of those things that would maybe be a deal breaker, because I think I went to about 13 different worship concerts last year. I always say that I was making up for lost time between 21 and 22 because they finally let us go back to concerts.
Yes.
But that is seriously, like, God has put that in my heart. That's what I want.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I'm a concert goer too. Not always just praise and worship, but
I'm not always praise and worship either. I went to go see Reba earlier this year. So,
I'm jealous.
that was actually a really great concert because it was right after, so where I live, there was a very large court case involving a small town Southern lawyer. And so people probably know where I live now. But she sang the night the lights went out in Georgia, and she let us belt out at the top of our lungs, "Don't trust your soul to know backwoods Southern lawyer." And it was amazing because we all knew who we were talking about.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, I've always wanted to see her in concert, so I'm a little jealous, but that's okay. Maybe it eventually will happen.
This was really a God thing. One of my dearest friends from college, she and I have known each other for 20 something years, and she lost her daughter in a car accident at 17 earlier this year. So it's been very tough on all of us. Because I was in the room when that child was born. So she was like mine. And she got two free tickets and she texted me and she was like, "Hey, you want to go?" And I was like, "Sure, when is it?" And she was like, "Tonight." And I was like, "Awesome, let's go." So it was really just a God thing for me to be able to love on her and to have dinner with her and to be able to support her. And also we both had a lot of fun in the meantime.
Yeah, that's amazing how that stuff, you know, God just is like, here.
Yeah, here are these little, I call them God nuggets.
I love when that kind of stuff like falls into place, or what feels like falls into place, but it's really not. It's just God going like, here's the direction and ta-da. not that it's magic, but you know what I mean.
No, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds like so much fun. Yeah, I'm so sorry about y'all's loss, though. That is devastating.
Thank you. It's been a rough year. Things like that. So, but you know, we're making it through and we're trying to find the best. And she's got just an incredible outlook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really opened up our relationship to be able to pour into her. And my church family has helped pour into her. And of course, she's got an incredible church family as well. Mm-hmm. And she's always been very grounded in her faith. And so, you know, it's difficult, but she's not dwelling there. So, we see the good in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the more beautiful part of it is when you can, make the connection, not necessarily as to why, but you can see how God is working things out, even in the midst of the pain and the mourning. So
absolutely. I would love to talk about the hug question.
Oh, yes, let's go for it, because that's a good one too.
So the question was, what's the best way for a male friend to ask for a hug when he needs one? Just ask.
Yeah.
Just ask. I'm a really big hugger. I am a Baptist by nature, and I come from a long line of huggers. People actually talk about, since you want this through my name, hug, it's a I have my own brand of hug, apparently. And I just, it's because there's so much love behind it. And I just love people. And especially if they really need a hug, like, I just want them to know how much they are loved on. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's a ministry for me. Mm-hmm. Is giving hugs. And so, like I said, my hugs are kind of famous in my church. People are like, hey, can I have a hug? And I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be weird for me because people ask me for hugs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only thing that would make it awkward is like, if I don't know you and you came up and be like, hey, can I have, and I'm like, okay, sure. You know, it may not be a full on hug.
Right.
But when we were going through 2020, I was like, I'm just going to set up a hugging station in the vestibule at the church. And if anybody needs a hug, they can just come and get it. Like, I miss hugging people, being single and living by myself. Mm-hmm. And touch is one of my love languages.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really missed that. Like, there mm-hmm. are times that I'll just ask my dad, because like I said, I come from a long line of huggers.
Yeah.
And I'll ask my dad, I'm like, Daddy, can I just have a hug? And he'll just give me a hug. And it's just like, it's a release to me.
Yeah.
And I want people to feel that release when I hug them. It's just that mm-hmm. let it out, you know, mm-hmm. type of thing. I have people that come to me every week and they're like, I need my hug. And I was like, okay. Now the flip side to that is sometimes I need a hug and I am not always, people come to me for hugs. And so I'm not always good at asking, be like, can I just have a hug? Mm-hmm. Now my, one of my Sunday school teachers, he is the husband of one of my Bible study teachers.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll just be like, I'll just look at him and I'll say, can I have a hug? Cause it's the closest thing to my dad hugs, because I don't live near my dad. Mm. And he's like, sure. And he gives me back a hug and I just feel better.
Yeah.
So long story short, just ask.
Yes. That has been the consensus so far. Most women just ask.
And I think it's because that there's this, and I know that I'm going to get canceled for using this terminology, but it is, and I think you know what I'm going to say, because of this toxic masculinity mm-hmm. that you can't show emotion and you can't, and this goes into another question that you asked about, like, if he's having a hard day and, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, if I'm your partner, I need to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so that means, you know, you come home and just be like, babe, I've had a really rough day. Can I have a hug? And we just sit on the couch and have a cuddle and let me talk about it. And, you know, go from there, because relationships are 100-100.
Yes.
Okay. So it ends up being 200%. Now, sometimes you might have to give 150 because your partner only has 50.
Right.
And it's going to be vice versa. You know, that's why it's so important to be in tune and be able to openly express, like, I've had a rough day. I need a hug. I just need to sit and talk it out. Or I just need to sit in silence and just have you run your fingers through my hair. Or and women the same way, you know, because sometimes I think that so much goes on the man's shoulders that women don't, like, they don't want to burden with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, you know, oh, I don't want to burden him. So then they go to their girlfriends and then that creates a rift in the relationship. And sometimes she just needs to, you know, like I do with my dad, I look at, you know, look at my partner and say, I just really need a hug
mm-hmm.
or I just really need to sit here and just have your arms around me and just let me cry it out or whatever the case may be. I love kickboxing. So maybe it's like, hey, can we go to the gym together and let's just punch it out?
Yeah.
I've got a lot of anger and mm-hmm. I just need to get this out, you know, or something like that. And it's knowing your partner and what they need. And sometimes it's going to be intuitive. And sometimes it's just going to be like, I think as you get further in the relationship, it's intuitive. Mm-hmm. But I don't, getting back to the hug thing, I don't think hugs have to equal something sexual. And unfortunately, culture has made it that way. I think it can just be, I don't have a significant other and I just need this release. Mm-hmm. of stress. Mm-hmm. So, hey, can I have a hug? And then we go about our way. You know, mm-hmm. I have a couple friend of mine that was going through a really, really rough time earlier this year and later last year. And I asked, but I was like, do you need a hug? And he was like, sure. And I gave him a hug and he was like, thank you. I really needed that. But yeah. Touch is also one of his love languages. And what I think it's also in translation is that your love languages can be spoken by anybody. Mm-hmm. That's why I really love the singles version of the five love languages, mm-hmm. because it talks about with significant others, with friends, in your work life, with children, with other family members. It's not just in an intimate relationship. It's kind of everything, because everybody fills your love bucket. Mm-hmm. So I think it's when you really get to know somebody, especially if you're really good friends, and just being kind of intuitive and being like, I know something's off. I'm going to give you a hug. Or my friend's wife is not a big hugger. So I'm like, or I'll ask her, I'll be like, do you need a hug? Mm-hmm. And sometimes she'll say yes. And sometimes she's like, no. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Cause some people's love language is not touch.
I know some of those people and I'm like, why?
Right. Goes against everything Baptist in me.
Yes, it goes in against every grain of my body too, because I'm physical touch as well. And so it's like when I come up to somebody who's not physical touch, it's like I feel awkward. You know, not that they're awkward, but I feel awkward because I'm like, oh wait, yeah, I can't hug you because you don't like those. You know.
and I have some friends that are like that, and I'm like. And I'm not, like I said, I'll just, one of my dearest friends, I know she's not a hugger. And I was like, can I give you a hug? And she was mm-hmm. like, thank you for asking. Sure.
Yeah.
And it's just the respect of saying, hey, I realize that this is kind of a boundary for you. Mm-hmm. I would love to broach that boundary, but if it's not okay with you, then I won't. And that's what boundaries are, right? Is recognizing yeah. that, saying, hey, where do we stand on this? Yes. So. But she doesn't get a full on hug because that's not her jam, and that's fine.
Exactly. Yeah, it's such a great thing to like learn your love languages and to learn those around you. Because like you said, you can when you're single, that the way that your love bucket is filled can be by all these other people. And for in my Absolutely. Own life, like when I started realizing, hey, this is what my love languages are and this is how I interact with in this, you know, family unit, and then these are what theirs are, it was like so mind-opening to me, because I'm like, oh, now I understand why, you know, this family member, yes, might like physical touch, but it's not necessarily their top thing. They're a gift giver. You know, or they like gifts, right? Where that's not even, I'm like, okay, for me, it's like, okay, I'll appreciate it, but it's not necessarily how I feel the most loved. Right. So,
right.
But learning that, or like with my dad in particular, one of his top is acts of service.
And I think men tend to be more service oriented. Mm-hmm. I know my dad is very much acts of service as well. Yeah. Love languages didn't really exist when we were much younger. So it wasn't until later on in life that, and we were out of the house before we realized, you know, what that is. And he and my mom had gone through it and some counseling there, and they've been married almost 44 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I come from a long line of long marriages. So, you know, it makes sense, because maybe when we were younger, we'd be like, hey, dad, play with me. And he's doing yard work, and he'd get irritated with us because, you know, it's more like he was trying to get stuff done. It's not that he didn't want to play with us. We just didn't understand mm-hmm. That. And I do think that men tend to be more acts of service. Growing up in a household, both my parents' house, my grandparents' house, my great-grandparents' house, that were all filled with love and were Christian houses, for the most part. Mm-hmm. I can speak all of the languages, and my love languages do change depending on what the circumstances. Mm. So I went through a really rough time with an ex-boyfriend, and he was not working, and I would come home and he would be here and have not done laundry or started cooking or anything like that. So like, here I am, I have worked all day, and now I have to do all of this stuff too when you aren't working and you are here all day. Mm. So I felt very unloved in those moments and in that situation, where acts of service would have been my top love language at that point. Right. Because I don't want to have to work all day and then come home and do all these things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Again, I think that that comes to knowing your partner and having God at the center of your marriage, of your marriage or your relationship. That was not, well, that was a relationship that was based on lies, all the lies. But I think it comes to knowing your partner, being honest with each other. And, you know, it, it just comes with time. I mean, you're not going to know everything about somebody from the first time you interact.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so. I agree. Even though we try.
Yeah. And I mean, I want to know all the things about everybody, but you know, some things just come with time. It's like when I train somebody at work and I'm like, I want to teach you all the things, but I also have so many years of experience that there are nuanced things that I wish I could put a siphon in my ear and just take all of my knowledge and put it in your head. Mm-hmm. But I can't do that. It takes time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like it's not, it doesn't need to be an overwhelming thing either. Like I said, I think sometimes we put too much pressure into getting to know somebody.
And oh, for sure.
You know, it's like we can let this happen organically. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Know everything. Yeah. And I think that goes to the intentionality question on that you asked. You know, I think setting expectations right out the bat are so important. And so if this is a guy that he's like, hey, I would like to get to know you. Mm. And so, you know, how that would look where maybe he's quote unquote sliding into your DMs or just saying, hey, Tiffany, I've interacted with you online, maybe through a group or, you know, I hate online dating. I think it's atrocious.
Me too.
It's like a big cattle call, right? Because yeah. You just look and you're like, oh, that looks like a nice filly or heifer or whatever. I'll try that one. So terrible. But maybe it's like, hey, Tiffany, I have, you know, we've had some interesting discussions. I'd love to talk to you and just get to know you better. Mm-hmm. We're not getting married tomorrow, right? But if a guy comes at you and says, hey, I'd like to get to know you better, at least be open to it. You know, say, hey, cool. Absolutely. I think there is something I heard somewhere and I can't remember where I heard it. Men tend to go off of physical first and let the other stuff grow. Whereas for women, physical attraction grows typically as you get to know somebody. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, and I found that to be true in my own life where it's like, kind of on the fence. I don't know, but I'll give you a shot, you know? Mm-hmm. And then as you get to know somebody and really fall in love with each other, that physical part develops. Mm-hmm. And so I just think guys can be so intentional about, like, you know, maybe if he comes in your DMs and he just wants to be friends, or he says, hey, listen, you know, especially when you're doing online, you know, and most of our interactions do tend to be virtual. I mean, yeah. In a perfect world, we'd all meet people, you know, face to face. I pray for that. I literally pray for that every week at church. Lord, if you have somebody for me, please let me meet him here. So far, it's not happened. But you know, that's what literally what I pray for. But there are so many times that, you know, we're interacting online. So, and a lot of can be lost in translation and text messages and messaging and all this other stuff. So it's so important to be upfront and honest about, hey, I really enjoy our conversations. I would really like to get to know you and see where this goes. Or, hey, I really enjoy our conversations. I'm not that into you, but I would really like to have more conversations with you because I really enjoy talking to you and I hope we can be friends.
Yes. So I have like a perfect example of this. I won't use names, but he will listen to this and he'll know exactly who he is. Okay. So anyway, I have this friend that's also in our group and, but I met him in a different group, about a year ago, and we had some great interactions and comments, just being funny. We both have this very unique sense of humor and, you know, whatever. I can't remember who slid first into whose DM because it's been so long, but that doesn't really matter. After we got into the DMs, just because it was just like this funny thing we were talking about. And he was like, hey, I'm just going to put this out here because I think you're amazing and everything. But, you know, I don't want the same things that you do. And he was basing that on like things that he had read in comment sections and like my intro posts and all that stuff. And so he basically was like, let's just be friends. But I wanted to put this out there. So like we both knew, hey, this is what this is. And I was just like so dumbfounded because I agreed. I was like, yeah, we're just friends. And I had already like, you know, put that in my mind that this wasn't anything other than friendship. But it was just so amazing for him to just kind of lay it out there like that, because I had never experienced that before. And I randomly just thank him. occasionally I'm like, you know, thanks for just setting those boundaries like up from the get-go, because like this friendship has been really, really cool to have over this last year. I've been able to bounce a bunch of different things off of him and, you know, and Stephanie's basically just become like an extra brother. And I will never forget like the way I felt reading all of that, because it just was like, oh, you know, like now I don't have to assume that he's interested, because I know that he's not interested in that way. He's just interested in friendship. So
absolutely. And I always, based on my own dating history, which is not extensive, and I don't want to use this as an excuse, but being a girl that's on the plus size, I am not everybody's first choice. Mm-hmm. I always just assume that a guy just wants to be friends. I never assume. So that is also another perspective, that when it comes to being intentional and a guy really wants to get to know me to see where it goes, he needs to be open to that and say, listen, I like you. I think you're a fantastic person. I would like to be able to get to know you and see where this goes, because I'm interested in you. Like, you have to be open, because otherwise I'm going to put you in that friend box and I'm going to treat you in that friend box, and that may offend you. So like open, honest communication is so important. I too have a good friend that we've met, that I've met in our group, and we have great conversations, and but we have very ideological differences. And so when people are like, oh, this person, and I'm like, nope, it'll never work. But that person is just my friend, and I'm okay with that, because I love this person and I think he would be just a fantastic partner for the person that God has for him. But I also see a lot of things that need to grow in him. Whereas if I was interested in him romantically, I might need to, you know, might look past those yellow flags. I won't call them red flags, yellow flags. Right. So, you know, and we're all works in progress, and we're all growing until we're dead, you know? So all of us, it's there are just certain things that I would not be able to get past. And I think there are certain things that he would not be able to get past. And so we're in each other's friend's body. And like you said, I think of him like a brother.
Yeah.
Because we've had such great conversations, and I genuinely know that he cares for me as a friend. And I have developed wonderful male friendships through our group. Kingdom men. I mean, just good, godly men that I respect the heck out of. And I know that they would be there for me as my brothers in Christ, but it's just not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's what I look at that our group as. People come in there like, oh, if people aren't dating. And I'm like, this is a group for community, not for dating. If something happens out of it, awesome. But this is a group for community. This is for us to bounce ideas off of. This is for us. I describe it as the singles group I wish my church had.
Yes, same.
The founder of the group so many times over that she listened to God and created that group, because there's actually a subgroup that we created over on a different platform. And that's our family. Like, we laugh together, we cry together, a relationship has developed, and we're like, okay, it's going to be the first marriage and we're all going to be there. And like, you know, like, it's just, and we talk about everything. We even have a girl talk group where we, you know, we literally have talked about everything girl talk, which I won't share here because boys cannot be privy to all things girl talk.
Yes.
But just know that there's a lot of things that are not off limits. And that need to be talked about and need to be spoken of. And that's where the community part comes in. And this also comes to, you know, people praying for you, you know, and just coming with a need. And I used to think it was kind of selfish to ask people, you know, to pray for me because my things are so much less than others, you know, but somebody at my church told me, if it's important to you, it's important to God. And if it's important to God, it's important to the family of God. And that's what we are as a family. And so that's one thing I love about our group is that we can come and we can, you know, be bare bones. We can be raw with each other and say, hey, listen, I really need prayer for this. Or, hey, I don't have anybody else to celebrate this thing with me. And I want to celebrate, you know, and you see people come around you and you see people celebrate and there's laughter and, you know, there's arguments and there are people on there that I handle in very small doses or I just don't interact with at all. There are also conversations and posts in there that are triggering to me. So I don't interact in those posts. And you know, there are things in there that are discussed and I'm like incredibly disheartened and I'm like, I'm going to be single forever. And then there are parts of it that I'm just like, this gives me hope again. So, you know, as with any relationship, there's going to be ups, downs, and we're going to go rounds and rounds. And of course, with as many people as in our group, nobody, not everybody is going to agree, but, community is really the key there. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about intentionality and, you know, guys having been burned and, you know, women have been burned. And I think that we all have the same insecurities because of the fact that, you know, something didn't go well with this person. And so I'm not going to do it with the next person, but that's what the next person needs. So it's very difficult and it's the whole adage, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. So because a guy was open and honest and intentional saying, you're not my type. I think you're really awesome, but you're just not for me. And because a female acted terribly to that, instead of accepting that information graciously, it was just over. So, and so he's reticent to say that same thing and in kindness. And I think that that is the key here. You can't just be blunt and be like, hey, you're fat. I don't like you. Like that's not going to go over well. And that's going to be for females or males. You know, a female can't say, hey, you're a jerk. I don't like you. You can lovingly say, I think you are amazing. And that person is genuinely amazing, but they're not for you. I think that everything should be said in love and graciousness. And it goes back to the old 90s, which most of us are in, you know, our 30s and 40s. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? That doesn't mean you have to love everybody, but it also means that you need to be gracious because Jesus was gracious.
Yes, I agree. There's so many ways to, you know, let somebody down, air quoting there, right? In a way that leaves them better than how they came to you.
You should always leave somebody better than you found them. 100%.
And it's just like, cause I've been there too. Like I've, you know, in the past used the excuse of like, oh, I just feel like God isn't, you know, doesn't want me to be with you. Or like, that's not the phrasing, but you know what I mean? Like the, that kind of line of excuse instead of saying like, you know, I think you're awesome. I'm just not that interested in you, you know, like just, that's just so much more simple than putting it on God, right? Like, I feel like we use that excuse too much. And that's guys and girls, you know, or men and women, use that excuse way too much instead of just being blunt, but in a kind way, you know, because you can be blunt and be kind.
Absolutely. And I think that the grace, when you're going to let somebody down, think about what you would want somebody to say to you. Now that that can be a slippery slope because some people just want it straight out, but also you have to understand what would Jesus do in this situation. And I think about the adulterous woman and, you know, where, you know, Jesus was like, he without sin, throw the first stone. And then he looked at her and he said, go and sin no more. I'm recognizing that what you did was wrong. I'm not condoning that. What I'm doing is saying you can be free. So it's not a matter of saying, hey, you're ugly, I don't like you. Or hey, you're a jerk, I don't like you. Just mm-hmm. be like, you know, hey, unfortunately, I'm just not getting the compatibility here. I think you're really awesome. I wish you the best of luck. We can be mm-hmm. friends. Or if it's somebody who you just don't like, and be like, listen, we have very different views, and I just don't think that this would be a friendship that would be worth pursuing.
Yes.
There are so many ways to be gracious, but it's not acting in the moment and not acting out of your emotions. Mm-hmm. It is truly, what would Jesus do in this situation?
Mm-hmm. Amen. It's... You know, I feel like we, as both sides of the coin, you know, need to remember that we are all created in His image. And, you know, it doesn't have to be this like rude or unkind, you know, thing. It can just be something simple. We don't get along, or I don't think we're going to get along on this topic, because we all have those things, right? Like, we all have our
non-negotiables.
Yeah, our non-negotiables, right? And we have deal breakers and stuff like that. So it should be as simple as that. Like, if it's not, you know, I mean, yes, sometimes it might be physical, but that still doesn't need to be the big the reason that you're like, I'm not into you because of physical
things. Absolutely.
Like, find something else, people.
and just realizing and remembering, especially in our group, because we're all Christians or professing Christians in the group.
Yeah.
That is your sister in Christ. That is mm-hmm. your brother in Christ. And you don't want to be the reason that they stumble away from their faith.
Yes.
Do not be a stumbling block in this situation. And honestly, if you're going to be rude and mean and terrible to somebody, you're not showing the love of Christ, and you are not doing your Christian duty in that situation. And that's really disheartening for a lot of people, because I mean, most everybody, I think, has got some sort of church hurt somewhere.
Oh yeah.
I would go out on that limb. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be the reason that somebody just says, if this is how Christians, and too many, oh, I can get on my soapbox about this. Too many people are falling away from the church these days because we are not being gracious, and mm-hmm. because we are sitting high and mighty and we're standing in judgment all the time, instead of getting to know somebody and getting to the root cause. And I always tell people, I'm like, I have plenty of places that sit next to me on my row at church. And if you're perfect, you can't sit there. I only yes. want imperfect people on my row, because mm-hmm. if you're perfect, that row's going to burn up, and I don't want to try to be there. but it comes down to basic interactions. And I think that people are like, oh, well, people are going from the church for this and that and the other. No, it comes down to basic human interactions. Mm-hmm. And when you stand in judgment of somebody for whatever the case may be, and you take on that holier than thou, instead of being humble and saying, listen, we have very different ideological differences, and I just don't think that that would work in this relationship or in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And just being open and honest and clear. Redirect things with humor a lot of times, because it's just so ridiculous. I'm not going to argue over it. I'm just going to make a joke out of it, because I want you to see how ridiculous this is. This goes into another question that you had. I am in what's called semi-close singleness. I just mm-hmm. started grad school. And so it's incredibly difficult to balance work. Mm-hmm. grad school, some semblance of a social life, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think I'm at a place where I would be a very good partner right now. Mm-hmm. So I am not actively looking. However, I do pray that the Lord brings me somebody at church. And if for some reason the Lord said, it's time for you, and this is the person that I want for you, mm-hmm. He's going to do it. No matter what my time is, you know, no matter what I say. And so, you know, I don't think it's, I think it's important that we don't close ourselves off completely, because we can miss what God has for us. Mm-hmm. But then there's the old adage, what God has for you will not pass you by. No, but you can make it a lot more difficult for you to have.
Yeah.
So, and you don't want to hurt somebody in the process.
Right.
So I think it's important for us not to say close singleness, but maybe say semi-close singleness, meaning yes. I'm not actively looking for it, but if the Lord has it for me, I'm open to it. Yeah. And one thing that I really hope, and one thing that led me to this, is that I really hope that the men who submitted the questions, number one, I would like to say that I appreciate all the men that submitted questions, because I think that that's how we communicate with each other. And it's the whole men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Like, we have different perspectives on the same thing.
Yeah.
And so, and we communicate very differently. And I applaud the boldness and the bravery of them submitting questions, like these burning questions, for us to be able to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they understand through, I hope number one, that they'll listen, but also that they can see through these different perspectives of different females that we're not all the same. And so, yeah, you may have had a bad experience with one, that doesn't count out everybody else. And the same for women, you know, we need to be, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes.
I mean, I just appreciate the fact that we're having these conversations and that the men are going to be willing to listen, and they submit these questions and say, listen, what does this mean? And that it's a safe space for them to be able to ask these questions, for us to be able to kind of answer them. And, you know, who knows, maybe it changes perspective for somebody. And, you know, I just pray that any man who listens to this would just be enlightened and know that he is loved as a brother in Christ. I think I can speak for all the women that you're going to interview, that he is loved as a brother in Christ by all of us. And that the last thing in the world that we would want to do is hurt our brother. And that, but we also don't want to be hurt. And that, you know, we are praying for them just as much as they pray for us. And, you know, who knows? Maybe after listening to this, there are some kingdom marriages that come about, which would be great.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter @AnEpiffWithTiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.